My message this morning is the battle for the secret place. And this secret place, it's not an easy thing to describe, but when you know you're in the secret place, when you know you're in the place where God wants you to be, it's the most incredible feeling that you can get. Maybe it happens at a mountain retreat when the youth group is there, and you're just so close to Christ, and you know you're renewed. Maybe there's some repentance that happened, or confession, or whatever, and you know you got it. But the problem is, we build up these walls, and we make this secret place a void in our hearts. This message was born. First of all, I don't really feel like preaching this message, but it's something that I think we need to hear. This message was born out of a deep concern for things that we run after to replace our relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't say walk. I said run after to replace our relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about the church in general. As I was preparing for the message, my wife gave me a song, and it's a blast from the past. So, Steve Chapman, he was actually at our church quite a number of years ago for a sportsman's banquet. Some of you know Steve and Annie Chapman. He wrote a song called The Secret Place, and it's a place in your heart sometimes where I don't even want to go. And I got some things hidden there I don't want no one to know. James and Carl are going to be leading that song after the sermon this morning. And it was just really instrumental in organizing my thoughts for today. God desires the innermost part of our heart. It's that unique place that defines our true heart of worship. That last song talked about searching much deeper than this. I want to go on a deep dive this morning, okay? I want to get down to the bottom of it, what true worship really is. And like Kayla said, sometimes what you have to give up to get there. The battle for the spot is real. It's not a fake. We all battle with it. We've all faced it. Even mature Christians face this battle for a secret spot. I can face it as a preacher. I do face it as a preacher. You know, I can study all week and still not touch my secret place. You guys can work all week and not touch your secret place. This fight, I fear, has evolved into a very passive confrontation in mainstream Christianity, even in our church. As we slowly give place to the things that so easily beset us. So men and women, young adults, youth, I want to speak to you this morning. It's time for us to engage in the fight as our culture creep continues to invade and take over our secret place. Before I open the Word of God, let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would place on our hearts, impress on our hearts the things that you want to impress on. And Lord, I pray that your Word would be a two-edged sword this morning. It would bring healing, and it would cut to the heart of what we need to hear this morning. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be in this room, and as you speak through a very weak vessel, I pray, Lord, that your words could be heard. I pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to start out by reading Psalm 95, verses 1 to 11. I want you to turn to that this morning. It's a psalm that's about worship. And this is another series, another sermon in the series on worship for us as a church. For those of you that go here, you know that we've been delving into the subject of worship and what it really means. So this morning, as we talk about worship, we're defining worship as that small place in your heart where God is put there, and it's not just a void, it's a battle. Psalm 95, verses 1 to 11. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. It's almost like he's talking to you. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never rest. I hate the way the psalm ends. I really do. But, this is God's chosen people. But they refused to worship him. They ate the same manna. They drank the same water. But their heart was not worshiping. Psalm 97:10 says this, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. You know, when we're in the secret spot, I'm not promising you a bed of roses. But what I'm promising you is, just like Kayla said this morning, she's willing to go there because she feels confident and knows that that is where God wants her to be. We've all experienced that. Some of us have experienced really hard times. But yet, coming out on the other side, you would say, I've given that secret place to God. And I know him in a real way. And I know, even though the things that set me back, I know it's where I'm supposed to be. So I want to look at this secret place. Why is God even fighting for it? Psalm 51:6 says, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. I think there is incredible things that we can gain when God is in that secret place. I'm preaching with passion this morning because I know how hard it is for God to rule that secret place. And I also know how rewarding it is when I function with God in that secret place. I know the richness and the joy and the fulfillment in what I do on an everyday basis. I know that. But when I give in to the fears, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yeah, that's real. It sort of clouds that secret spot in my life big time. Isaiah 45:3 says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. He's fighting for your heart because he wants his creation to carry out the purpose which you were created. How many of you know Michael Jr., a comedian? Do you know him? Ever hear him? It's the only comedian I can really recommend to you. Really good. Great Christian. And, you know, this secret place was a real struggle for me this weekend. I can't tell you how much I was distracted studying for the sermon. Couldn't do it. And a comedian got me on track because I was flipping, I was listening to different sermons, and I came across this Michael Jr. comedian. And he's going through, and I can't tell jokes, so I won't. If you ever need a good joke, somebody to tell you a good joke, Paul and Hope's son, Michael, he can tell you a good joke. He's a good joke teller, but not me. Anyhow, he was saying, he defined what it is to be a comedian. He said, as a comedian, you got to set the audience up. Okay? And then you got to deliver a punchline. Every one of you has the setup in this room. You have been set up for God's work. Every one of you. But a comedian, he can set you up, and you're anticipating, and you're starting to smile, but if he doesn't deliver the punchline, there's no laughter. So you guys have been set up. You're in Christ. You've been filled up. You've been taught. Now what are you going to do with it? What's your punchline? How is your life affecting others? Now, if you can't get the comedy thing, which I struggle with comedy myself, let's go volleyball. Okay? So, in volleyball, the ball comes over the net. There's a pass to the setter. The setter sets it to the outside, and those two passes are beautiful. And the hitter whiffs. It's not very effective, is it? Okay? You have the setup, it's perfect, and you have a whiff. Let's go to a little different situation. Bump, set, boom. That's a pretty thing, isn't it? That's a punchline, okay? So here's what I'm saying, guys. As Christians, you got the setup. What's your punchline? What's your spike? What are you going to do with it? So Christ has made each one of us with a very, very specific design. You know, I have a brother sitting right here that I have a lot of respect for. But we're very different. It starts with hockey, first of all. We're very different. And God has a specific purpose in his heart. And I don't know if you know the way he cares for people. I think you do. But he does. There's other people with very specific skill sets. I see Danny and Sari back there, and the years that they've given to mentor youth. It's a punchline. They're doing it well. But there's even, I'm sure that there's even a battle for that secret spot in the two people that I mentioned. There's a battle going on there. So let's look at the battle a little bit. So this battle involves a lot of strongholds. Remember I said we run after things that take away from our relationship with Christ? We're living in a world where it just promotes that. It's not even hard to do. It's not hard to run after things that mess up my relationship with Christ. It's not hard at all. In fact, it's promoted. 2 Kings 17:9 says this about strongholds. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God. Hear the word secretly? When you're doing stuff in secret, it messes with the secret place. It messes with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their town. In this battle, I'm going to focus pretty much exclusively on addictions, what we become addicted to. Because I find that that addiction is the primary source of keeping that secret place that's reserved for the Lord void. Okay? Addictions, if you look at the definition of it, it is something that you need to survive, pretty much. It's a very general definition. Something that you need to survive. Isn't that God's place? Isn't that God's place? You need God to survive. So now I'm going to make another geometry assumption. So if, forgive me, I got a C in geometry. And I only got a C because Larry Ressler was helping me. So you have addiction, meaning that I need it to survive. And if I need it to survive, that must be idolatry. It's a weak reasoning, I know. But I think it's true. Because really, that's what an addiction is. Addiction is something that we hold in our secret spot that no one else knows about. And trust me, we've been there 100 times saying that, oh, I'm not going to do this again. And we still do it. It's a stronghold in our life. So I got a list of addictions. I didn't know there were so many addictions in the world. I'll start with substance abuse addictions. First one is nicotine. I don't know how to say this, but I'm disturbed at the normalization of stuff. You know, cigarettes aren't, I don't think we struggle with that. But now they make this stupid little device called a vaping device, Juul, J-U-U-L, that delivers 5 times the nicotine hit that a regular cigarette does. And we think it's okay because we're not harming our lungs anymore. You see the normalization of it? But it becomes addictive. Or alcohol. And we think it's, not a big deal. I'm not a big alcohol fan, in case you think otherwise. My grandfather was an alcoholic. I have no time for it. As I was listening to the Secret Place song, another group, Booth Brothers, sang it. And before they sang the song, one of the Booth Brothers gave his testimony of how his dad became an alcoholic. He had a successful painting business. He would take his clients golfing. They would talk business over a beer or wine, and one drink led to 2 drinks, and 2 drinks led to 4 drinks, and 4 drinks led to 8, and so all of a sudden his father was a full-blown alcoholic. 4 years after that, the IRS showed up at the door, and they took his cars, his house, and somehow, by the grace of God, his wife stayed with him. And he checked himself into a rehab and he found his secret spot again. And because he found his secret spot and Jesus was on the throne, Jesus was in that spot, it totally changed who he was as a person. We think it's okay. Why are we saying it is? I don't understand. Like marijuana in our country, it's now legalized. So if it's legal, it must be okay. No, it's not okay. Prescription drugs. I had an employee who was addicted to prescription drugs. Stole a lot of money from me over the course of a 6-week period. It was totally in control of her life. So those are substance addictions. There's more. There's like cocaine and heroin and things like that. What about behavioral addictions? And the reason I'm mentioning this, you know, when you're doing these things, you're building a wall around your secret spot. God's being pushed out, I guarantee it. I've never saw one drink or one puff improve your relationship with Jesus Christ ever. I don't even have to say it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I've never seen it improve your relationship with Jesus Christ. What about behavioral addictions? Where do you go when you have downtime? I'd just be curious about that. What do you do when you're bored? I got one. Fox News and Drudge Report. That's my addictions right now. That's what I do when I have downtime. I don't know what you do on it. I don't even know if we understand the power of this little device. You got Netflix on here. You got social media, Instagram, fake Instagram. Whatever you want, it's on here. You got YouTube, okay? What do you do when you go down? Do you go find a friend to talk to or go play a game? No. Give your thumb more exercise. Is it addiction? I'm not making this up. This is just the list that I got. Here we go. Gambling. Let's talk about gambling a little bit. We're making it more normal, right? I have a big concern about gambling. Big concern. You see, in our country, we have now legalized sports betting. Something we all enjoy watching, right, is sports. So why not bet on it? Just want to give you a real, true warning that's happening right now. I have a friend, an acquaintance, that started out just a simple bet on March Madness. He's now in rehab. His wife is not living with him right now. It shouldn't be that way. It's from a good Christian home. Shouldn't be that way. His betting has gotten out of hand. Another addiction that was mentioned on the list, food. You know, here's a problem. At 40, my metabolism gave up on me. And it's a problem. I love to eat. I always have loved to eat. But it wasn't a problem when I was 30. But now I'm 48. And it's becoming a bigger problem every year. Food can become an addiction. Three-letter word called sex can be an addiction. Pornography. Let's talk about that for a little bit. If you're really honest with you, you have a choice to make about that every single day. Every single day. Because I don't care if you're just watching Fox News. you still got a choice to make because of the ad content. As I'm going down the list here, video games are an addiction. I know kids that are playing video games well into the night, and they're worthless at school the next day. It's an addiction. You need it. I came across something that was really disturbing. Illustration of a parent who was really discouraged with their son and said, you know, the only thing that he's good at is video games. I don't think we should take that away from him. An addiction? Yeah, it is for him. Netflix and movies. You say, that's not an addiction. Are you sure about that? Does it make you feel better about yourself the next day? Or you just spent from 10 to 12 and then maybe watch the second movie from 12 to 2 and you don't feel like working the next day? Yeah, it can be an addiction. Social media. It certainly can be an addiction. Now, what I'm saying here is, do I think a video game in and of itself is wrong? No, I don't. Do I think social media is wrong? No, I don't. But when it competes so hard for the secret place in your heart, and all of a sudden God has no place anymore, then I have a problem with it. I really do. So what I'm saying is, there's areas in my life I got a problem with right now. Eating disorders. Shopping was listed here. I can't even comment on that. cutting was listed as addiction. The addiction to pain was listed. And last but not least, work was listed as an addiction. Huh. Come on, I'm providing for my family. At the expense of what? A few other addictions I want to address that are not listed on the behavior addictions, but I see them as addictions. Bitterness and anger can be addictions. We've held on to bitterness so long that we can't function without the bitterness that it takes to confront somebody. And the same way with anger. We can get so angry at people that it crowds out that secret place. We become so angry at our hurt, the people that have hurt us. We become so bitter towards the wounds that we have gotten from people that it crowds out the secret place. So let's go to my third point, the battle plan. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to give you a very different four-part, I'll go through it quick so don't get alarmed, bad advice plan for dealing with a secret place in the heart. Now remember, this is bad advice. So if you have an addiction, don't ever think that you have a problem. Think that you can quit at any time. And you've done really well with that, right? So if a small group leader or somebody in the church confronts you, avoid them like the plague. Don't run to them. Keep them away. Because you know what's going to happen? If a small group leader, if you talk to a small group leader about your addiction, you know what they're going to do? They're going to hold you accountable. They're going to try and mentor you. So don't do that. Remember, it's bad advice. Second thing you need to do is to gratify your fleshly desires. I want to read Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 says this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So again, my bad advice for you is gratify your fleshly desires. In other words, if you feel like doing it, do it. Be like a two-year-old. Throw your little temper tantrum and say, I'm going to do this. I don't care if it means serving Christ or not. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Just like a two-year-old would have a little temper tantrum. The third thing is, I want you to keep your addiction a secret. Because when you keep your addiction a secret, it crowds out Christ in your life. But not only does it crowd out Christ, you start to see things surface in other areas of your life that you had no idea you could get to that point. Proverbs 28:13. I'm just going to read that real quick. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. You know, sin grows best in the dark. It grows best in the secret place, actually. Sin almost always involves a lie. How many of you are trying to cover up things? When your parents come into the room, you hit the escape button. Or you lie straight out about what you're watching. In keeping this addiction a secret, make sure that you have very easy access to what's tripping you up. That's a good thing. So if it's alcohol, keep a closet where you can easily get to it. If it's porn, make sure you have unfiltered devices. That's a really good thing to do if you want to be an addict. Number four, I want you to depend on your own power. I want you to be locked in the prison that has held you there for a long time. All right, I'm going to stop being sarcastic now. But I want you to tap in to the divine power to demolish strongholds. God has the power to demolish the lies of the enemy. And I'm telling you that there is no stronghold more powerful than the power of Jesus Christ. Let's look at David's plan to combat this. Two Sundays ago, we had a skit in front of our church. And this 9-foot, I don't even know what it was, came walking up through. For those of you that are visitors, no joke, his head was 2 feet higher than I could reach. And he came in here, and there was a stone flung at that giant, and it was so carefully guided by Katrina right into the giant's head. But I think in real life, it was actually God that guided that stone. So guys, you have giants in your life. You have things that are tripping you up. Let's go with David's plan. Because when he looked at the giant, he saw somebody really big. And then he looked at his God, and it was somebody much bigger than the giant. And he looked back to the giant, and he looked back at God, and he said, he's too big to miss. That was David's plan. So this morning, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what your secret spot looks like because it's a secret. But I want you to listen as James and Carla come and play the song. And I know you made room to get in small groups to talk about. Be great. But I encourage you not to follow the bad advice I gave you. I'll give you some good advice and find someone to talk to.